Okay, I'm Monty and my wife, Marcia, and we've been married 47 and a half years, and yes, by the grace of God, and we have three beautiful children. Now, that's our wedding picture, and folks, that tux was the height of fashion in its day, yeah. Well, we have three beautiful children, each with wonderful, gorgeous families, our son, and our older daughter and a younger daughter, that we would not have had the way we have if we had given up in the difficult times. So I grew up in a Christian home, and both church and Bible were very prominent in my house. I was loved by my parents, and who were both very active in everything the church was doing. They led me and my five brothers to do the same. While I recognized that Bible knowledge and church activities were a significant part of the Christian life, I neither observed nor saw a real relationship with Jesus being discussed or true discipleship being encouraged. I accepted Christ as my Savior at age 8, and from then on depended on that salvation experience to define me as being good. Early in my teenage years, I was introduced to pornography, which became an off-and-on struggle for me. As a young teenager, I was also sexually abused by an older man, and then found myself receiving undesired sexual advances from other men. Now, I never discussed these incidents with anybody and just tried to put them behind me. And I never really felt responsible for these incidents, but they did not really make me doubt my sexuality, but they did make me desire the idea of having sex with women to reaffirm my manhood. And these desires further led me to pursue pornography, which seemed a safe way to take care of these desires and still look good to the outside world. These experiences left me with a distorted, unrealistic, and damaged view of not only sex, but my faith as well. During my good times, I felt God approved of me, and during my bad times, I felt God loved me less. And this led to years of doubting my salvation and hiding feelings of insecurity about both God and women.
So I'll say it now. Thank y'all for joining us tonight. Thank you for being here. My childhood experience was secure and stable. My brother, sister, and I were loved by my mother and father, who taught us by example. I do not remember conversations about finances, relationships, or even any arguments between them. My family life revolved around the church and its activities. Though my best friends were at church, I tried to relate to my school friends by inviting them to my birthday parties. At age 12, I said yes to God by going down front during a revival at church. In high school, I was friendly to all, but desired approval from the cool kids. At age 16, I desired to live in a daily relationship with God, but did not know how. When others seemed to reject me, I learned to protect myself through withdrawal and silence, after often communicating with facial expressions. Consequently, my personality developed as self-sufficient and proud. The summer before my senior year in high school, I met Monty. I was not impressed that he was a police officer, but I was drawn to his bright eyes, energetic spirit, and those two butterflies above his Western shirt pockets.
In my early college years, I moved to Dallas to join the police department. In fact, was the youngest police officer ever hired at that time, and decided to check out a church near my apartment since I hadn't been going to one. I met Marcia during that very first visit to this church and was instantly drawn to her for her physical beauty and her personality. I believe she was way out of my league, but was determined to pursue her and win her. We began dating quickly, and our relationship continued to grow, even as she went off to college to pursue her degree at Stephen F. Austin. I was working full-time in Dallas and also attending college as well, but would drive to Nacogdoches and spend weekends as often as I could. We were both believers, but over time, we began blurring our boundaries. And as our familiarity with one another grew, our relationship moved into the area of premarital sex.
I can look back on my senior year in college and recognize when my true nature was revealed. I desired to be good so I could control what people thought of me. I also thought I could control God by believing in Him while still making my own boundaries. Our premarital sex led to a pregnancy, which then led to an abortion. Our choices and actions bring to light the sad truth of James 1, 14 and 15, which says, "But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death." The decision to terminate the pregnancy was my human response to trying to be my own God. Monty and I never discussed the impact of our choices that took us down that path. After a brief period of separation, we became engaged and were married in June after my college graduation. The first 5 years of marriage were filled with part-time jobs, taking care of our newly built house, serving at church, and the birth of our son. Communication and conflict would become a recurring struggle in our marriage. In fact, our first real marital conflict resulted from a facial expression that I shot at Monty while trying to communicate my displeasure with his actions in front of some of our guests. Monty responded with a dismissive look, which shocked me, and I quickly acted like nothing was wrong, so we never discussed that incident.
My reaction to the premarital sex and subsequent abortion was one of passivity and a failure to even recognize the gravity of the sins we were committing. This was further evidence of our ongoing poor communication in the relationship, but it's also how little we were pursuing God. When we married, I thought everything would be great. However, my real desire was that Marcia would meet all of my needs without me ever giving a thought or attention to any of her needs. As our family grew, I made the decision to leave the police department and enter the business world, telling myself it was the best for Marcia and our growing family. In truth, I was insecure and feeling unfulfilled at home and at church. I did not discuss these feelings with Marcia or anyone else. I was living isolated without any godly counsel in my life. These undealt issues and emotions often came to the surface, especially during times of conflict. I would respond with outbursts of anger, verbally attacking Marcia whenever we would argue. We continued this pattern we'd begun early in our relationship, which meant we never discussed these incidents and we just swept them under the rug. Ironically, the more problems we seemed to have at home, the more active we tried to be in our church. It was as if we were trying to use church activities to heal these growing wounds.
In God's patience and kindness, He blessed us with three more children in our marriage. Tragically, though, our second baby was stillborn at 7 months. I knew God was aware of my situation as I mourned on my own through reading a monthly support newsletter over the next 6 months. I operated in a state of self-sufficiency instead of allowing others in to care for and mourn alongside of me. Monty and I did not grieve our loss together.
When our second child died at birth, it was difficult on both of us, and my response was to go into full control method. I decided to take care of all the required issues of the stillbirth without ever involving Marcia. I justified this by telling myself that I was protecting her since she was still in the hospital. I handled all the preparations, the funeral home, the casket, the burial issues, the funeral, all of this without any input from my wife. To make matters worse, literally, the day I brought her home from the hospital, our church called and asked me to go the following day to hear a prospective pastor. The following morning, I left Marcia and our toddler at home while I went off to do church work. Marcia did not complain or even question me. This too was just swept under the rug, and we continued going about our lives while ignoring the hurt and unaddressed issues within ourselves and our marriage.
Well, I was happy to give birth to two more precious, healthy baby girls over the next 5 years. I was living my dream by taking care of our home and raising our three children. However, I was becoming increasingly frustrated with Monty's lack of interaction with us as a family. I silently began to build resentment toward Monty because he was not present to help me. I felt uncared for, but I justified his behavior by telling myself that he was working hard for our family. One night after I tucked our children into bed, Monty was sitting, staring at a Cowboys football game, and I decided I'd had enough. Without comment, I chose to stand in front of the TV, desiring to get his attention. Monty reacted angrily and grabbed me in a chokehold before quickly letting me go. That night, we went to sleep side by side without discussing or even raising a question about the abuse or our lack of communication.
I was pouring myself into work. I worked long hours, including Saturdays, which increased the tension in our relationship. The more I neglected Marcia, the more she acted out toward it with bitterness towards me, and then I would become even more unloving towards her. And that cycle continued with growing escalation. Somehow, during all this messiness, we kept up our image as a perfect Christian couple. We both continued to serve in numerous ministries, but never together. No one, including us, really knew what was happening inside of us and our marriage. As our relationship deteriorated, I sought recognition through my success at work and then began enjoying emotional affirmation from women at work. Eventually, that emotional affirmation resulted in physical relationships. However, these affairs left me feelings of guilt. I didn't even recognize myself. I felt the Holy Spirit speaking to me clearly, and he was saying, "This is exactly who you are. You need to make a choice to follow me or follow the desires of your heart." Romans 1:24 just haunted my mind. And it says, "Therefore God gave them over to their sinful desires of their hearts, to sexual impurity." And I was so unnerved about how clear this voice seemed and was convicted that I ended those affairs and never had another. I asked God for forgiveness, but again, neither confessed to Marcia or asked her for forgiveness. I foolishly believed that I was protecting her feelings by not telling her of my sins.
My resentment over time had built into anger, and I was holding it all in. I remember hosting all of Monty's family for our birthday party the day after our 10th anniversary, which Monty had forgotten. I tried to humiliate Monty by blasting out to everyone that he had forgotten our 10th wedding anniversary. I think I just wanted him to hurt as I had been hurting. About 1 year later, Monty came home early and informed me that he had been laid off. In that job loss, I believe God stepped in to save us from ourselves. I remember feeling compassion and telling him everything would be okay. Monty quickly found another job, and soon thereafter, we had an opportunity to move near his new office. I hoped this could help us in marriage by having more time together to grow closer to one another. However, that did not happen. About 2 years after moving, I decided that for my own survival, I would withdraw emotionally from Monty. I didn't care what he thought, said, or did. And I didn't let him know that. I just did that within myself. Once again, without asking God's help, I decided to focus solely on myself and raising our children. My self-sufficiency had taken over yet again. One day, about 5 years into my independence, Monty had the audacity to ask me, "Why do you have to be angry all the time?" I felt so justified in my anger that I never even would have said that I was angry. I felt so... I said that. I responded with a glare. This encounter, along with our pastor asking me to lead our women's Bible study for the church, initiated the softening of my heart. In one of our studies, the Holy Spirit convicted me about my unforgiveness towards Monty. I heard, "You need to forgive Monty." And I remember looking up and responding, "For what?" That initial softening of my heart was moved further, specifically towards Monty.
Fast forward more than 20 years. We were in a surviving marriage, but with little oneness and no true emotional or spiritual intimacy. Thankfully, neither of us ever considered divorce as an option. We somehow accepted the terms of our dysfunctional marriage, but each blamed the other for our unhappiness. While our children were growing up and leaving home, we found ourselves helping with a startup church that ultimately disbanded. So we began looking for a new church without even considering the needs we were actually looking to have met. God graciously led us to Watermark, where our lives were changed. After a lifetime in church, we began to experience real community. We were challenged with transparency, confession, and forgiveness and redemption. We knew all these Christian ideas, but had never truly experienced any of them. After attending Watermark for several months, we believed this was the place for us. It's where God wanted us. And not long after becoming members, we were recommended to by friends to be re-engaged leaders. Naively and ignorantly, we just started leading a closed group thinking we could help these hurting couples. However, by the time we got to the forgiveness chapters, I had begun to understand the real impact of my sins, as well as my need for complete transparency and confession. Psalms 32:3 described how I felt inside. It says, "When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long." At that point, James 5:16 also became so real to me, and it says, "Therefore, confess your sins one to another and pray for each other so that you may be healed." And I recognized that my unconfessed sins were contributing to the dryness in our marriage. I was deeply convicted that I had to confess these decade-old hurts and sins to Marcia and ask her for forgiveness. However, I was unsure of how she would respond, and with a tremendous amount of fear and guilt, I confessed my affairs to Marcia.
Since I had learned the value of transparency through Reengage, I was better prepared to hear confession for the first time. On a trip returning home from visiting our son and his family, Monty confessed his affairs to me. I felt an immediate relief and better understood why we were in so much conflict. I knew God had forgiven me of my sins because of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, so I was able to forgive Monty. Monty allowed me to ask questions, and I felt an overwhelming understanding regarding his unloving behavior. Reengage has taught me to see and own my part in our dysfunctional marriage. I am learning to address conflict in biblical manner. Instead of sweeping things under the rug, I address issues, communicating with words rather than facial expressions and visual put-downs. I better understand the significance and privilege of my personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. John 15:5 says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." My formerly learned self-sufficiency and independence contradicted the nature of God's desire for my relationship with him. As I abide in him, I have learned that compassion is the key to understanding and loving others, which then gives way to kindness. Ephesians 4:32 says, "Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you.
Our marriage was not miraculously healed in an instant, and our lack of intimacy was not immediately replaced with oneness. However, the initial healing began an ongoing process of us dealing with each of our hurts and our hang-ups, one issue at a time. Over these last 13-plus years of being reengaged, we have learned how to confront and better understand each of these hurts and issues together, rather than alone and isolated. This healing process allowed us to lovingly pull back the bandages hiding our hurts and reveal them to each other so that we may be fully known and fully loved by one another. Genesis 22:25 so beautifully encourages us. The man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed. This became the desire of our marriage. When we finally began to understand how God fully knows us and yet fully loves us, we begin to do the same for each other. We still have arguments and difficulties and sometimes fall back into poor communication habits, and I do still struggle with anger issues. However, by pursuing Christ together, we are growing in our intimacy and our trust of one another. For the first time in our marriage, we're enjoying serving in ministry actually together. We hope our story encourages your heart by shining the spotlight of God's goodness and grace, which is available to everyone who will come to Him through faith in His Son, Jesus Christ. God's desire is not just for us to have a better marriage, but an abundant marriage, one that is centered on Christ and reflects His steadfast love for us. May each of us take steps in that direction tonight. Thank you for listening.